Okay, so we were up to the case of Machlif Para Bechamor. So the Gemara had said, why isn't the case of Zelmer Shavotai, Zelmer Shavotai, why is it not parallel to Machlif Para Bechamor? Meaning, in the case where I think it was Gavi and Andrew, was it Gavi and Andrew? I think it was Gavi and Andrew. It doesn't really matter. It's imaginary, but sure. Gavi and Andrew both claim that they are, that field up there in Naharia is their ancestral homeland. Okay? With no evidence. And there we say, fight it out to the death. Kol Dalim Gvar. And yet, when Yaakov and Ezra trade their cow for the donkey, and during this trading process, a baby is born, and they don't know before or after the trade happens, they don't know where it belongs. So we say, Yachloku, we say, divide. The Gemara's question is, why? Because ostensibly, both cases have a certain level of similarity in that neither case does the court have reason to believe that it belongs to one over the other, right? Meaning they're starting, in the case of Zer Shemotai, Zer Shavotai, they're starting at zero. And the case of the trade, both Yaakov and Ezra acknowledge that a transaction happened, and therefore the status quo is no longer the status quo, right? Meaning we know the status quo has changed, or not the status quo, the previous status has changed. And therefore, that shatters our belief to just revert to the past, or at least we'll see whether that's true, but for the moment, that's what the Gemara is assuming, like Sumchus. And there we say, Yachloku. So then the Gemara says they are not comparable. Why not? Because a hatam lahai itle jora dimamona ulahu itle jora dimamona hacha idemar lo demar videmar lo demar. In the case of the animals, there is drora dimamona, whatever that means. And in the case of the fields, there's not drora dimamona. Now, everybody wants to know what this is, and it is very, very cryptic, and I'm not going to do every single sheet. I remember when I was in yeshiva, I think it was Rav Gigi, gave a shir just on drora dimamona everywhere in Shas, which took like 2.5 hours in shir kolli. I'm not going to torment you with that, but let's at least try to understand some of the possibilities. Let's do this a little bit out of order. Let's start with Tosfot, okay? Tosfot Dara Dimamona, the top of Lamanei. And Bet, what does Tosfot say it is? So, Gavi, we talked about it in Seder, so tell me outside and then we'll read it.
It's about whether the Sapphic is based on their claims, or the Sapphic is based on the...
Very good. So Tosfot said the difference is as follows. Is the Sapphic only or Bezdin's obligation to deal with this as a Sapphic only due to their claims or inherent to the situation? Okay, so let's read Tosfot. Drara dimamona, perush, didal ta'anatayu me'ocha. If you remove the claims, yesh safek lebeit didin dahaiminayu have havlad, they are still going to have doubt as to whether the child, the baby cow here, belongs to Yaakov or to Ezra.
Oh,
but it's not just that. It's that the situation is what creates the doubt. Because where were Yaakov and Ezra at the moment of the trade? They were at Yaakov's house. And where did the birth happen? At Ezra's house. The situation... No. Let's start with Tosfot. One second. Tosfot. Tosfot says, in that case, even without their claims, because in the end of the day, they're not making claims, neither Ezra nor Yaakov is sure what happened. They were together in one place. The animal gave birth in the other. Im nolad kodesh shemacha or acha shemacha. They don't know what happened, whether it was born before or after the transaction. V'chein b'shor shenaga ched ha-parah v'nim t'ubra b'tzida, similar case in Bavakama Memvav, of a ox which gored, and you found the animal with its child on the side. Below ta'anatam misupakim beitin. Whether or not Yaakov or Ezra make any claims, Bez Din would still be unsure as to how to proceed. Hey chayamase, they wouldn't know what happened. Im kodem shenacha yad lo la'acher shenaka. V'chein b'shor rodev acher shor acher v'huzak. Three different cases. Yesh l'stavigim b'shor rohuzak o'b'sel alaka. Okay, I'll leave. I won't get into all the cases. We'll focus on ours. V'chein b'chol makom d'pligi rabbanan v'sumchus. And this is true of all places where there's a machlokas rabbanan and sumchus, which we will get to. Aval hacha bazel meshavotai shalpit anotehem bahasafek amrinan kol de'alim gvar. But in the case of the fields, the situation doesn't create the safek. What creates the safek is the lack of evidence plus the initiation of a court case by Andrew and Gavi. Okay? So, someone explain this to me. Why does Tosfot think that in a case where the court is only involved in the doubt because of the claims, so then the proper solution is called Olam Gvar, it's fight it out. But in a case where the Safek is due to the situation itself, Bez Din has to Paskin, at least according to Simchos, and say, Yachloku. Yes, Rami, why? Not, does Tosfot say anything about lying? Does Tosfot say anything about lying? No, he does not. Okay. Stop. Okay. I wasn't going to do this yet, but I will do it now because you asked me. And then, if I indulge you now, will you then try to understand Tosfot? Fine. So, what Rami says is not what Tosfot says. It is, though, what the Yad Ramah says. Okay? The Yad Ramah, who I did not put on the sheet for you, understands Drara de Mamona the way Rami does, which is, in the case of Gavi and Andrew arguing about the field, one of them is lying. However, in the case of Yaakov and Ezra swapping the cow and the donkey, neither is lying. What are they doing? Guessing. Very good. Thank you. They are guessing. They are guessing. And Yad Ramah says, in a case where they're guessing, or what he calls Tanat Shema, they only have claims based on doubt, right, plausible, but they have no certitude, then you divide. But in a case where each of them is making a sure claim of which one is lying, so then you let them fight it out, Kol D'Alim Gvar. Okay, so Rami, you are correct as a possibility in the sugya, but I didn't ask you for a possibility in the sugya, I asked for Tosfot. But, fine. Wait, I will indulge, but I'll indulge you, Rami. Why does it make a difference? Explain to me the Yad Ramah. Explain to me why it makes a difference that if there's someone lying, so then we will recuse ourselves, Kol D'Alim Gvar. And if there is no liar, so then we divide. We value truth, great, and therefore what?
We don't want to reward someone who is a lie.
Okay, good. So what Rami says is maybe, and this you see in certain sugyot, right, of Ika Ramai, we saw it already in Tosfot, not this Tosfot, but an earlier Tosfot in the Gemara and Bava Metzia. What Rami says is as follows, look, maybe the reason that we don't want to divide is because we don't want to encourage people to lie. Because if Gavi and and Andrew, one of them is a lawyer. One of them knows that if there's no evidence, right, they notice that there's this, look, they've been talking to Yitzhak, and they know that the best way to buy a house in an expensive area is to find some loophole in the law, right? He asked Yitzhak, he has like 100 of them, okay? I don't know how many of them work in Israel, but he has all types of loopholes for houses in like random places in Texas or something. Okay. So they figure out that, look, there's been this field that no one's been sitting on for a long time. So what do I have to lose? If I go and I claim the land, so what's the worst of, and I won't get it. Best case scenario, the Beis Din believes me and gives all of it. Mid-level scenario is Beis Din half believes me or is unsure and gives me half. Right? We don't want to encourage that type of thinking because that encourages people when they see something that is, you know, basically not provable and therefore open to some legal manipulations to swoop in and, you know, basically this is a zero risk scenario because the worst that'll happen is Beis Din will ignore them and they'll be stuck where they are now, which is no land, right? So therefore, Rami, like the Arama says, the difference is as follows. In a case where someone is lying, Beis Din doesn't want to get involved. Because if Beis Din gets involved, they're encouraging, by dividing it, they're helping a liar get half the property. They're encouraging this chaos, right? This anarchy and stealing and whatever. So the best thing they can do is recuse themselves. But in the case where Yaakov and Ezra traded the animals, and the reason they don't know who the animal belongs to is because they just don't know. So they're both wonderful, honest, upstanding citizens. They don't know. It happens. They don't know. So then, if you're dealing with upstanding citizens, where no one's going against the law, no one's trying to, people are just trying to get what they deserve, so then Beis Din can come and say, look, we don't know what the truth is. We have no way of knowing what the truth is, but neither do you. So we are going to facilitate a compromise in favor of peace, because look, at the end of the day, look, it might not be true, but we have no way of knowing what's true. And neither do you, and no one really does. And therefore, what we can do is help you, upstanding citizens, come to a compromise that will let society continue in a peaceful way, in the fairest way under the circumstances. Yes, Rami, is that how you basically understand what's going on here?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the Yad Ramah. Very good. So what Rami says is basically what Yad Ramah says. And again, this plays in what we've talked about, that Beis Din doesn't want to pursue untruth. They facilitate peace, but not at the expense of truth, and definitely not at the expense of possibly facilitating an injustice, right? But when there's a real doubt, so they want society to continue, they want to facilitate peace if possible, so therefore, they will, in fact, facilitate a compromise in this case and divide it. It might also be that part of it is that courts feel more compelled to respond with absolute claims, with absolute decisions, if there were absolute claims to begin with. Meaning, if someone says with certitude, I own this, then Beis Din has to respond in kind and maybe come up with an actual decision. But at the end of the day, neither Ezra nor Yaakov can be sure who owns the animal. So since they're both in doubt, Beis Din is allowed to respond in kind, to the doubt. Fine. Rami, I indulge you. So now, you have to indulge me.
Okay.
What does Tosfot say? That's not Tosfot, that was the Yad Ramah. Tosfot again said, that's not what Drarad Mamona. Drarad Mamona is not equivalent to Ika or Leka Ramai. There is or is not a definite liar. It's something different. Tosfot says the difference is, did Beis Din have a suffix with what to do without the claims of the litigants? In the case where Andrew and Gavi are arguing about the field, before it was a field sitting in the middle of nowhere, no one cared about, Beis Din didn't care about it, it didn't matter. What makes this an issue are the claims. However, when Yaakov and Ezra engaged in barter, the situation created a doubt because They did the barter, and then, oy vey, there's an animal now, which we just don't know when it was born, and a transaction has already happened, and we need to clarify the parameters of this transaction. Right? The situation created the doubt that Beis Din is responding to. And Tosfos says, in the first case, you're allowed to say kol dolim gvar. In the second case, you have to make a decision, which in this case is yach loku. Okay, good. Rami, you have to try first to understand Tosfos. Someone explain to me Tosfos. Anyone else can help Rami afterwards. But since I indulged Rami, now he has to indulge me. Yeah.
So when you have these, we genuinely don't know when the calf is born.
Right.
We
genuinely don't know when the calf is born, and therefore what? We say divide, and therefore what? No one knows, therefore what? Why?
Because if no one knows, then...
The court is dealing with it.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Okay, let's get it multiple layers here in Tosfot, okay? The simplest layer of Tosfot. Yes, Ezra. Okay, but how does that explain this case? Meaning what? Right, you have to pin it down. In the case of the field, Zelmer Shabbatai, what?
They have
dates
where, like, you don't know the hall of that in that situation.
Yeah. Don't go down the lying path, right? I know that Rami really wants to conflate the Adraman and Tosfot. I don't want to, right? Okay, let's try this again. Tosfot, at the simplest level, let's start at the simple level here, okay? The simple logic of Tosfot is very, I think, is pretty straightforward. It goes like this. In the case, what is Tosfot getting at when he says that in the case of Zelmer Shavotai, Zelmer Shavotai, Beis Din only has a suffix because of the claims. And therefore you say kol dolim gvar. Gavi, why does that help Beis Din say kol dolim gvar? Meaning? Well, let's put it a little differently. What Tosfot is saying is, look, is if before Gavi and Andrew brought the issue up, Beis Din wasn't involved at all, so then they can recuse themselves. Why? Because by recusing themselves, it reverts to the original state, which was Beis Din wasn't involved. Until you made it an issue, it wasn't an issue. So I can choose to ignore you, and then it's not an issue. Right? It's only an issue if I listen to you. If I don't listen to you, then that field in Nahariya is just that field in Nahariya that nobody cared about. Nobody cared about it yesterday. You care about it today. But if I choose not to listen to you, then I can pretend that still nobody cares. Right? But in the case of Machlef Parva Chamor and the other two cases that Tosfot deals with, that's not the case. The doubt is inherent, meaning Yaakov and Ezra both acknowledge that they were involved in a legal transaction. That legal transaction is recognized by the court. one part of the legal transaction, everyone agrees happened, meaning Yaakov and Ezra both agree that what? The parent animals are traded and bartered and acquired. And yet, this legal transaction that is on the books, according to everybody, everybody agrees it's on the books, there's an element of it that is unclear. It's like, think about it, it's like contract law. Everyone agrees that the sale happened, and now the parties come to court and fight over a detail in the contract. The court can't just say, I'm pretending this never happened, because everybody agrees that something happened. They're arguing about a detail in the contract. You can't just ignore it, right? So that's essentially what's happening here, is Ezra and Yaakov both agree that it happened. The question is, did the child animal, right, did the baby cow get transferred in this transaction or not? But this court, this case is in court. This case is on the books. This case is recognized. So Beis Din can't turn itself away from it. And once you don't have the option to turn away, which admittedly might be their best option because it avoids them having to be party to untruth, they have to make a decision because they can't recuse themselves. And then once they have to make a decision, then you can argue about what decision you make. Yes, Ezra. Yeah, of course. They can settle as much, however they want, for sure. Or sell it? That would create a nightmare. You mean, could you arbitrarily? I don't know if that would work, right? To sort of sneak it into a court case that's... Yes, I don't know if that would force Beis Din to address it or if they would just divide it out. Right, because that's already artificial. Right, that's artificial. You're taking something that Beis Din refused to address and trying to stuff it. Right, this is how law works all the time. Right, and you know, this is like half the trouble in Congress is when they try to do exactly this. Right, is that they try to make the other side look bad by taking non-controversial bill. Right, and then stuff like, you know, a controversial claim in clause 9078. Right, and then the other side blocks it, and they say, aha, you don't want to save poor children, right? The answer is, no, I didn't want clause 9078, whatever it was, right? I don't know if that works, right? Well, remember, that's what we saw. That was the machloket all the way in the beginning, Rush and Rashbam, which is, is it permanent or, right? If it's permanent, then the answer is no, you can't ever do anything into it because it's in perpetual anarchy. If you say that it's a one-shot thing, then whoever wins then can sell it because it's theirs. Yeah, presumably. No, that presumably works. That presumably works. Okay, so that is two deot as to Drara Dimamona. One more, Rashbam. So let's look at the Rashbam. This is on Lamed Hey Amud Bet. And he says, right, even though it's Shayach to Lamed Hey Amud, sorry, Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. Right, what does he say? Hatam. Gabe Amachlif para bechamor litravayu it lejora dimamona. By the case of trading the para for the chamor. They both have Drara Demamona. How does he understand that phrase? Shapara Vashivcha Shel Shneem Haita Bazacharzeh. Because the animal or the servant had belonged to both of them in succession. Vikol Echad Ve'echad Toein Parati Vashivchati Yalda. And both of them claim it was my maidservant or my cow who gave birth. Haita bazachar zeh, v'kol echad ve'echad to'ein parati v'shivchati yalda. Both of them claim it was my animal or servant who gave birth. when it was in my possession, inami bishan chalip in yolda, or while it was being traded, ve'ein livarer shomia ve'avlad, and you can't clarify whose it was. Hilkach yachlokus, you divided, v'shudu didaini leka lemeimar achafil lishmuel. Here you don't say shudu didaini, lo shayach lemeimar elagavi matana lishnayim, sheyira beitin lemeoav yoter, dili didei gomar omakni, because there the Rashbam following Rashi thinks that shudu didaini has to be a case where you have reason to believe one or the other. Remember, we saw this was Machloket Rashi or Ben Tam, and I said Rashbam is with Rashi. He is, right? That he thinks that Shudu Didaini means do your best to figure out the truth. In this case, there is no way, right? Because by Shudu Didaini, when Yaakov gave the gift to Ezra and Rami, there Rashbam says you could try to figure out psychologically who does he like better, right? Who does... Fascinating question, Yaakov. Who do you like better, right? Don't answer. This is for us to figure out. Right, just to guess. Yaakov is excellent at having a poker face, so you could never figure out for sure which he likes better, and that's why it's fun for Beis Din to guess. Right? So, you don't say Shuda there. Aval hacha b'derav Nachman shezomer shavatai v'chulei. But, in the case of the field, idemar lo demar, lo haita karko shel idach me'olam, it never belonged to either only belong to Gavi and never to Andrew, or only to Andrew and never to Gavi. So what does he think it means? How does he understand Jorah the Mamona? Yes, Ezra. Wait. First, what does he say? Then tell me conceptually what it means. Right. Okay, good. So in pshat, what he's saying is, in the field case, one of them is making it up, one of them is not. In the case of the trade, both of them have at some point been owners of this, and therefore it's not from nothing. Good. Now, what does that mean? So I know what Rami's going to tell me. Rami's going to tell me that maybe you could understand this like the Adrama. That in the case of the field, Andrew knows he's lying, or Gavi knows he's lying. One of them is lying, and they know it, because they never had a claim to it, and they made it up out of nowhere. But it's plausible that because both Yaakov and Ezra have had legitimate claims at some point in this process, that they don't mean to lie, they're just making a mistake. And since they don't mean to lie, so Beis Din will get involved. Okay, Rami, I don't know if Rami actually wants to say that, but Rami will tell me that if you wanted to, you could read the Rashbam in line with the Yad Rama. Okay, fine. Ezra, what do you want to say? So that would change it. Correct. If you said I'm trading the cow, the donkey for the pregnant cow, then obviously that would change it because... Correct. Right. Meaning, you would, because there, either it means, right, you'd have to figure out what exactly he meant and what exactly he wrote, whether I'm only buying it if it's currently pregnant or I'm buying it and its child in or out of womb. Right, and you'd have to figure out how it was formulated and things like that. But yeah, obviously that would change the issue. Again, depends on how you would formulate the contract. If you said I am trading my donkey only for your cow while it is pregnant, so then it would create a suffix as to whether the sale ever happened. Correct. Right? If you wrote a contract that said, I am trading my donkey for your cow and its child, whether it's born or not, then there'd be no suffix. You own, if you agree to this, then you own it. Right? So by Kedushin, most of the Rishonim assume that's a suffix, right? That is Kedushin mi suffix, because since it might be interpreted X, Y, Z, you have to be Choshesh. But money, yes. Kedushin, because it's Isurin, has different, right? We care about Sveikot as opposed in ways we don't buy money. That's true. Okay? Good. So the Rashbam, if you wanted to push it, like, which I know Rami does, because Rami is really fond of the Yad Ramah, that you want to read Ezra Ramah, you could. If you want, but Ezra is probably right. My guess, that Ezra sort of snuck this into what he said, which is that the Rashbam, it's not identical to Tosfot, but seems to share a certain conceptual orientation with Tosfot. Is that the difference is, so one possible way of reading it is the way Ezra's saying it. Another, second possible way, is that he's saying similar to Tosfot, that if it's a case where you definitely owned it at some point, so then that makes it that you have enough standing, that Beis Din knows that you were at some point an owner, and therefore when you come in and you make a claim, they need to respond. And if they already need to respond to both of you, because both of you can prove that you are stakeholders in this case, so then they can't just get away with recusal. But if you can't prove that you're ever a stakeholder, so then they can get away with recusal. Okay, that's a way of reading Rashbam more in line with Tosfot. There is, however, I think, another way of reading the Rashbam, and that is the following. Remember we talked about that we give credibility to muchzakut, to the fact that you hold on to it, that you're holding on to an object, either because it provides a certain level of evidence that it's yours, or because, remember we talked about this by Chezkat Karka, that holding on to land may itself give you a certain control, right? Certain ownership rights. It could be that the Rashbam is saying something different, which is, if you have owned it at some point, then what? It's not just that you have standing, it's that you have a hold in it. That the fact that both Yaakov and Ezra at some point definitely owned this animal means that Beis Din has to treat it not just that they have to get involved, but actually has to acknowledge the hold that each of them has in the animal. Maybe the reason they divided is not just because they need to facilitate truth, but because the fact that both of you owned it, and now we're just not sure exactly who the owner is now, gives you both a hold, and we need to respect your hold. And that's why we divide it. Correct. It would be a chiddush. Correct. And it would be a chiddush because then you would be saying that someone could have a hold simply by the virtue of the fact that he was once owner, even though we have no particular reason to believe that he still is. Correct.
Even if we know that
for half an hour after sale, correct. Right. You'd have to modify it and say it only in a case of suffix, but it could be that Rashbam is saying something like this, but I think it's also plausible that Rashbam is much closer to Tosfot conceptually. I think that's definitely possible. Okay. I'm just going to, I think, before I get into Sumchus and the Chachamim, which is really the last thing I want to do in the sugya, which is quite complicated, I'm going to do one more thing for Rami, okay? Because why is Rami so convinced of the Yad Ramah? Why is Rami so convinced of the Yad Ramah? Because Rami says that lurking in the background of much of this sugya seems to be this concern of Vaday Ramay or not. Is Beis Din convinced that there's a criminal here, or simply someone who's unsure? So where did Rami get that idea? Rami, where did you get that idea? It popped into your head. Okay, wait. So conceptually, Rami says the reason is because if Beis Din cares about justice, the last thing it wants to do is facilitate an injustice for someone who's actively pursuing theft. Right? Good. But I'm not going to, God forbid, accuse Rami of the greatest sin in the whole Torah, which is forgetting Torah. So I'm not going to, God forbid, accuse any of you of having forgotten what we did 2 days ago, because obviously that would never happen. But 2-3 days ago, we saw someone who actually thought that this was critical to the sugya. And who was that? It was the Riva in Tosfot. So if you look back at Lamed Dalet Amud Bet, all the way that first Tosfot we saw in this Sugya, remember we saw this in the context of what? Why don't you compare Ze'omer Shavotai to Ze'omer Shavotai, to which case? Shnaim Ochsin Betalit. And what did the Riva answer, Rami? The Od Perish Riva. Dehecha de Ochsin Afil Ika Ramai. Yachloku. So he said, in the case of Shnaim Ochsin, there, because they're holding on to it, we will give it to them, even if there seems to be a definite liar, because the Riva thought that the very fact that you're holding it overrides our concern of Ramai. But we had mentioned at the time that not everybody agrees with that. And who didn't agree with that? Who? Right, the Riva took that Havamina and explicitly rejected it. But who had accepted it? Rashi in Bava Metzia. Remember, look at number 10, that Rashi had said the reason that by Shnaim Ochsin you divide it is why De'ika l'meimar Shnaim k'ne'u'a l'shnaim nitzrasa mocher. He says, if two people say, I bought it, so then technically, is that possible that two people co-owned, bought something?
Yes.
Yes. So then you can divide it. Aval ze omer ani aragtiha. The ze omer ani aragtiha. But let's say Rami and Ezra don't claim that they both got it from Yaakov. They both claim that they took up crocheting. And they had crocheted this blanket in question. So then only one of them could have done that. Then what? Lo yachloku devadai chad minai ramoihu. Then you can never divide according to Rashi if ika ramoi. So what Yad Ramah calls drora de mamona is what Rashi thinks is the rule between yachloku and other things, that whenever there is yachloku, it can't be a case where there's someone who's definitely lying. However, according to Rashi, when there's Vada Ika Ramoi, what's the solution? Not Koldo and Gvar, but what? But what? Rami, what's the solution for Rashi in a case where there's definitely a lawyer and we can't facilitate lying? Nope. Not for Rashi here. It's not Shidda Dedaini. It's not Kol Delin Gvar. It's not Yachloku. It is? What? What do we call that? Vitehe Mun. You can just look at it. I'm not cheating you. He says it in number 10. Last five words. Utehe Munachat Ad Sheyavo Eliyahu. Rashi thinks, like Rami, that once there is a liar, you cannot facilitate a liar winning, and therefore you just gotta leave it. You've gotta leave it forever and ever and ever and ever until Eliyahu comes with Mashiach to resolve your case. Not teiku. I know why you're thinking teiku. Okay. We haven't done this year because we haven't hit a teiku. So guys, what does Gavi doesn't get to answer? What does teiku mean? Someone give me the wrong answer and then we'll do the right answer. Yes? Good. So when you learned in elementary school, Tishbi Yataret Kushiyot V'Abayat, that Tishbi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, will answer questions. That's very nice. That's not what it means. And the Achronim have all these annoying conversations about it which drive me up the wall, like, why does it say teiku? Once you're waiting for the miraculous messianic period, why doesn't it say meiku? We should wait for Moshe, because Moshe will come back from the dead, and Moshe knows even better than Eliyahu. Blah, 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 blah. That's a terrible question, because what does teiku actually mean? Tekum, yes. It is the equivalent of Tekum. Let the question stand unresolved. Yes, thank you. Okay, good. No, it just means let it stand. Don't get all philosophical on me. There's no angels coming and whatever Eliyahu is, okay? Fine. But the solution is Munach Ad Sheyavo Eliyahu. And remember, according to Rashi, even the cases of Yachloku, of Shnayim Ochsin V'Talit, have to be cases where it's not for sure that someone's lying. But remember, the Riva doesn't care, right? The Riva is willing to deal with liars if what? If they're holding it, that gives them rights. And therefore, even if there is a potential liar, we can't just take it away from them and hold it in abeyance forever because they have claims, so they're holding it. No, according to Rashi, like the Yad Ramah, if there's definitely a liar, we can't do division because we would be facilitating an untruth. However, the Riva says no. By Shnayim Ochsin, when you're both holding it, even though there might be a liar, you must divide it because, according to him, the very fact that you hold the object gives you a claim, and Beis Din can't vacate your rights to the claim. It wouldn't be a recusal. It would be a confiscation. Right? To put it differently, I'll put it differently. Why do you think Rashi and the Riva argue this way? Since Rami is, right, Rami, you're taking Rashi's position. But why, how could you, what do you think the machloket is? Again, according to Rashi, if there's definitely a liar, then you're supposed to recuse yourself, which we call munach ad sheyavo eliyahu, like total recusal. According to the Riva, you, even if there's a liar, you have to make a decision, even if that's dividing, if what, Rami? If they're holding on to the object. Why? What's the machloket Rashi and the Riva? You could say it's motivations, but please explain how. Whoa. That's what you mean? No. Rashi clearly wants to make people not want to lie. The best way to do that is to take it away from them. So the Riva says the best way to make people not lie is to give them 50% of what they're claiming. That is just wrong. I'm not willing to accept that the Riva is stupid. That's not happening. Try something else, Rami.
So,
come on, I've given it to you like 100 times. Come on. According to the Riva, Ezra, or Eli, according to the Riva, why is it that when two people are holding a talis, the Riva thinks, even though there's a lawyer, you have to facilitate division. Very good. Is it the Riva thinks that the very fact that they're holding on to the object, what, gives them a certain level of control, and therefore, why is the Riva isn't worried about a lawyer? Why not? Exactly, meaning he's saying it's not my fault that I'm giving it to a lawyer. Since he's holding on to it, he has rights. I need to respect those rights. And if that means that I need to give half the rights to him and half the rights to him, because as far as the court knows, they both have rights, even if one of them is lying, it doesn't matter. I have to respect the rights on the ground. And therefore, you can't accuse the Beis Din of facilitating an untruth. The circumstances facilitated it. But what does Rashi think? Rashi thinks that if you hold on to it because of dubious grounds, you have no rights because your claim is dubious. And if your claim is dubious and you don't have rights, so then if we were to divide it, then what? We would be facilitating untruth. And therefore Rashi thinks, Munach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. Very good. Okay, there is another possibility in the Ron. The Ron actually thinks that maybe even in the case where they both sew it, you would still divide it because he thinks it is theoretically possible that they did both sew it, and therefore you could, you know, come up with a theoretical possibility. And remember, we talked about this before. Do you need actual possibility or theoretical possibility? Fine. Now, once we're talking about Rashi's solution, so now, Rami, tell me, what is the purpose of Munach Hashiavo Eliyahu? Is it really just for Bezdin to vacate its responsibility and avoid facilitating an untruth? Is that the only reason that we would say Munach Hashiavo Eliyahu?
No. We don't want to have a case where, like...
Rami, you said it before. It's not just about motivations. It's doing one more thing. It's preventing us from facilitating an untruth, but it's also doing one more thing, and that is? You said it before. It's also creating a threat, which will motivate the person to tell the truth. Because if they're going to lose out, they might as well, right? If Bezdin is going to confiscate it, then what is that going to do? That's going to motivate the person who's lying to what? To tell the truth, because he's not going to get it anyways. Maybe part of the reason that when there's definitely a lawyer, we threaten to confiscate it is to motivate them from telling the truth, because if they realize they're going to lose out anyways, they might as well not also have a sin on their track record. Who says that? Tosfos. Yes, but who says it explicitly? Look at number 21, the last source on the sheet. Tosfot and Gittin says that. The Umber of Yossi, a kol yeimunach ad sheyavu Eliyahu. Why do you leave it until Eliyahu? Hazam kaiden sinan lei. We find them ki heichi delodi, to motivate them to admit, right, that munach ad sheyavu Eliyahu is, at one level, yes, Rami's correct. It's a way of us avoiding facilitating an untruth, which is, you know, the last thing on earth that Bezdin wants to do. But it's also a way of motivating people to tell the truth in an active sense, because realizing that they have nothing to gain from lying is a very good way of motivating someone to just tell the truth, because why not? Okay, let's stop there for today. We have one more thing to do, okay? Guys, one more and then a breather, okay? The last thing to do is to recognize the following. We have been assuming until now that in the case where Yaakov trades his animal with Ezra, that what's the halacha? Yachloku. Why did we assume Yachloku? Because Gemara said Yachloku, very good. But why did the Gemara say Yachloku? Because they're following the position of Sumchus. Sumchus in the Gemara. But as Tosfot notes, there is another position there, which is the Chachamim. And the Chachamim say, Hamotzi mechaviro alav haraya. That in cases like this, the rule is not Yachloku. The rule is that, what's the Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya? Very good. That the burden of proof is on the person who's extracting. And therefore, if the baby animal is in Ezra's property, then, and there's a suffix, where does it stay? In Ezra's property. So what Tosus wants to deal with is, is this in fact true? Right? Is it in fact true that this sugya is only according to Sumchus? Or is there a way of making our sugya work even according to the Chachamim? So tomorrow, read Tosvot. This is the last thing I want to do in the sugya. Then even though there's so much more to do in the sugya, it could go on forever. I think we've gone on long enough. And we've at least understood the sugya as presented in the Rashbam and Tosvot and a few Kirishonim here. So read the last Tosfot on Lamed Hammond. Okay, guys, tomorrow, read the Tosfot on Lamed Hammond Beis. And I don't think I put it on the sheet, but follow up to the Sugya and Bava Kama and Bava Metzia Daf Kuf and look at the Tosfot there. Look at the Tosfot in Bava Metzia. Did I put it on the sheet or did I not? It seems like I did not. So look at the Tosfot in Bava Metzia as well as you can. I did put it, yeah? Yeah, I did, sorry. The Tosfot in number 9. Okay, number 9 on the sheet. So tomorrow, look at the two Tosfotim, and then we are going to be... and then we will be done with this sugya, not having exhausted everything, but at least given you a thorough enough taste of the complexity of this sugya, so that you have your bearings in these sugyot. That's what we'll do tomorrow, so that we end before a weekend, so you can breathe, I guess.